Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast brought to you by AIRS LA, the audio internet reading service of Los Angeles. My name is Nancy Porter, and it is my pleasure to share Time Magazine with you. I need to remind you, you're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. I'm going to be reading today from the December 29th, 2025 issue of Time Magazine. And it's a special issue highlighting Person of the Year. And instead of a single person, this year, their Person of the Year is the Architects of Artificial Intelligence. Anyway, we're not going to start there. We're going to start with, the year in review. Let's look at the headline, Unraveling Progress by Alice Park. In an era of fast-paced scientific advancements, it's easy to take medical gains for granted. We expect breakthroughs to occur on a regular basis, and 2025 delivered. Successful trials of gene therapies for diseases that have no treatments, for example, filled scientists and the public with hope. But bright spots like these were overshadowed by a series of political decisions in the United States that have already started to set public health care back instead of pushing it forward. The White House and the nation's top health agency, the Department of Health and Human Services, took a number of unprecedented actions in fundamental areas of public health. They kicked off the year with the dismantling of the USAID, shutting down programs that provide life-saving global health interventions, including childhood vaccinations. The administration then slashed budgets and personnel at the National Institutes of Health, one of the world's premier biomedical research centers and the springboard for innovations like the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines and immunotherapies for cancer. Meanwhile, despite the lack of any new data to justify skepticism, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, is now sowing doubt about the long-established safety of vaccines, which public health researchers say could lead to spikes in infectious diseases. The profound consequences of this year's retrenchments will be felt for years to come. All right, let's move on now to this headline. Trump, last year's Person of the Year, spent 2025 testing the limits of his office. This is written by Brian Bennett. Donald Trump had been waiting 4 years to get back in the Oval Office, and he arrived with a long to-do list. They came out of the gate like man of war, says Joseph Grogan, who served as director of Trump's domestic policy council during the first term. They set a blistering pace of administrative actions across all major agencies. On his first day alone, he pulled the United States out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, froze all foreign aid, suspended refugee admissions, and granted clemency to more than 1,500 people who had been charged in the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot that tried to overturn his 2020 election loss. And he was just getting started. Within a month, he had fired 17 inspectors general, allowed immigration agents to arrest people inside courthouses, taunted Denmark about handing over Greenland, announced steep tariffs on Canada and Mexico, and said the U.S. should own the Gaza Strip. Within 2 days, he had deported Venezuelan men to a notorious prison in El Salvador, declared English the country's official language, and bawled out Ukraine's president in the Oval Office as cameras rolled. It was hard to keep up. Presidents typically sprint to get things done during their first year in office while they can ride the momentum from a winning campaign. But Trump's pace, as he returned to the White House, was head spinning. "It's obvious the team knows they're in a hurry," Grogan said. Many of those working with Trump's were frustrated with how courts blocked major initiatives in his first term and how investigations and Trump's impeachment distracted from their work, Grogan says, and they are trying to make up for that. While Trump continued to court controversy, his team kept up its relentless pace to enact his domestic agenda. They stripped away energy regulations in an effort to increase U.S. oil and gas production and gutted subsidies for wind and solar projects. They pushed out more than 300,000 civil servants, stripped away COVID vaccine requirements, and froze research funding to major universities to pressure them to end diversity programs and hire more conservatives as faculty members. During Trump's first term, he burned through a lot of time trying to get Congress to repeal the Affordable Care Act. This time, Trump shifted his strategy. He prioritized tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy, and eventually insisted they be wrapped with a laundry list of his other agenda items, including ending green energy subsidies and massively expanding funding for border and immigration enforcement. Some Republicans balked at the strategy, but it worked. In July, Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law. The new funding for Trump's immigration agenda, a whopping $170 billion, was just one part of Trump's stark overhaul of the country's approach to immigration. He shut down a Biden-era program that allowed migrants to make an appointment at the border to request asylum and revoked temporary protective status for more than 675,000 people residing in the United States. He then mobilized the Border Patrol and ICE agents to make visible and often indiscriminate arrests in communities and ramped up deportations. Trump deployed the National Guard in Los Angeles to confront protests against immigration actions and sent Guard troops to Washington, D.C. and Memphis, saying it was to address crime. Daily life for migrants in communities across the country was upended. Border crossings between points of entry plummeted. Whereas Trump's immigration regime has been brutally consistent, his erratic use of tariffs roiled world and industry leaders. Stock markets endured a roller coaster spring as Trump dramatically announced historically high tariffs on dozens of trading partners and then postponed or rolled back many of them, frustrating both large and small business owners who have struggled with the uncertainty about what imports will cost. While Trump presented the tariffs as part of a plan to revive domestic manufacturing, he also used the threat of tariffs as a tool of international diplomacy. When India and Pakistan exchanged fire earlier this year, Trump claimed it was his threat of new tariffs that persuaded the two longtime adversaries to stand down. "If I didn't have the power of tariffs, you would have at least four of the seven wars raging," Trump said in the Oval Office on October 6th. "Not only did we make hundreds of billions of dollars, but we're a peacekeeper because of tariffs." On the world stage, Trump also pressured European countries to invest more in their own militaries and to pay more for weapons shipments used for Ukraine's defense. He killed dozens in military strikes on alleged drug smuggling boats on the Caribbean and Pacific that many decried as illegal and callous. He hit Iranian nuclear facilities, then declared an end to an aerial war between Israel and Iran. He persuaded Middle East states to back his ceasefire plan for Gaza, which required Hamas to return the remaining 20 living hostages kidnapped during the deadly October 7, 2023 attacks on Israel. On the campaign trail in 2024, Trump was not shy about saying he would use a second term to get revenge on his enemies. He followed through, sicking his Justice Department on longtime adversaries like former FBI Director James Comey and New York State Attorney General Letitia James, and targeting law firms that had previously conducted work or hired lawyers he did not like. The retribution campaign, along with a wide range of profitable business endeavors by Trump and his family, drew charges of an administration beset by corruption. At every turn, Trump used his knack for dominating news cycles to make himself the focus of attention all year. But identifying which efforts will be worthy of space in history books requires some sifting through the noise, says Whit Ayers, a longtime Republican strategist. He has taken more actions and made more news than any other president in my lifetime in just 1 year. But that news and those actions have not necessarily led to lasting accomplishments, says Ayers. Trump's approval rating started the year at 47%, according to Gallup polling, but has hovered near 40% since the summer. Ramping up deportations of immigrants who have lived in the United States for years is broadly unpopular. But voters give Trump credit for reducing the flow of illegal border crossings, says Ayers. It's quite an accomplishment that he has effectively shut down the southern border without spending a lot of money, Ayers says. Other Trump policies that have been popular with Americans, according to Ayers, are getting Europe to increase defense spending, negotiating the ceasefire in Gaza, and addressing concerns about transgender athletes competing in youth sports. But voters were less positive on Trump's first year overall. Millions turned out in cities across the country for anti-Trump No Kings protests in June and again in October. The off-cycle elections in New Jersey and Virginia were a disaster for Republicans, as many voters who pulled the lever for Trump in 2024 backed Democrats who promised to do more to address high prices and push back on Trump's chaotic leadership. With the midterm elections coming in 2026, Trump and Republicans will make reversing public sentiment a priority. How Trump addresses the issues topping most polls, the economy and the increasing cost of living, could define his second year in office. All right, let's move on now to their section, Time Person of the Year. This is written by Charlie Campbell, Andrew R. Chow, and Billy Perigio. The Architects of Artificial Intelligence. The first section of this is written by Sam Jacobs. Since 1801, American leaders have gathered in Washington, D.C. to attend the inauguration of a new president. It is a day of great tradition, one that often brings together the most powerful people in the country. Prominent at Donald Trump's return to office in January were the chiefs of U.S. technology companies, which long have led the world. But something unexpected was happening offstage. That same day, a little-known Chinese firm called DeepSeek released a new artificial intelligence model that spooked markets and led to a rallying cry from Silicon Valley. The next day, tech titans Sam Altman, Larry Ellison, and Maya Yoshi Son appeared at the White House with an announcement of their own. They pledged to invest up to $500 billion to build artificial intelligence data centers around the United States, calling the project Stargate. Those 2 days foretold the year to come. Global competition, astounding innovation, massive sums of money, and the alchemizing forces of public and private interests. This was the year when artificial intelligence's full potential roared into view, and when it became clear that there will be no turning back or opting out. Whatever the question was, AI was the answer. We saw it accelerate medical research and productivity and seemed to make the impossible possible. It was hard to read or watch anything without being confronted with news about the rapid advancement of a technology and the people driving it. Those stories unleashed a million debates about how disruptive AI would be for our lives. No business leader could talk about the future without invoking the impact of this technological revolution. No parent or teacher could ignore how their teenager or student was using it. These new tools can feel like magic. In the past few weeks alone, we have learned that artificial intelligence could facilitate communication with whales, solve an unsolved 30-year-old math problem, and outperform traditional hurricane prediction models. These systems are improving at a blistering pace, taking seconds to perform work that once took people hours. Artificial intelligence's capabilities double nearly twice a year now, according to one study. The speed of adoption has been without precedent. Every industry needs it, every company uses it, and every nation needs to build it. Jensen Huang, who leads NVIDIA, the world's most valuable company and one of the world's most influential AI leaders, tells Time Magazine. This is the single most impactful technology of our time. All this progress comes with trade-offs. The amount of energy required to run these systems drains resources. Jobs are going poof. Misinformation proliferates as AI posts and videos make it harder to determine what is actually real. Large-scale cyber attacks are possible without human intervention. There is also an extraordinary concentration of power among a handful of business leaders in a manner that has not been witnessed since the Gilded Age. If the past is a prologue, this will result in both significant advancements and greater inequality. AI companies are now lashed to the global economy tighter than ever. It is a gamble of epic proportions, and fears of an economic bubble have grown. Trump captured some of our unease in September when he said, "If something happens really bad, just blame AI." Students of history know that this moment has been a long time coming. 75 years ago, a computer named Mark III appeared on the cover of Time. A $500,000 behemoth built for the Navy, it roared louder than an admiral and was helping scientists imagine a new future. The story's headline, "The Thinking Machine." We are now living in the world that the thinking machine and its makers have created. Person of the Year is one of media's longest-running traditions. We have come a long way since Time selected Charles Lindbergh as Man of the Year for 1927 in an effort to make up for the fact that editors had not put the aviator on the cover following his pioneering transatlantic flight. Since then, the recognition has evolved as its focus expanded. We have named not just individuals, but also groups. More women than our founders could have imagined, though still not enough, and on rare occasions, a concept, the endangered Earth in 1988, or the personal computer in 1982. The drama surrounding the selection of the PC over Apple's Steve Jobs later became the stuff of books and even a movie. This selection is the third in a series that has captured the key moments in the technological revolution of the past half century. The rise of the personal computer in the 1980s transformed the economy. The emergence of digital communities was captured famously and infamously by Time naming you as Person of the Year in 2006 with a mirrored cover. Hindsight shows how prescient those picks were. Now, the social internet made possible by personal digital devices is giving way to a new era, the age of artificial intelligence. Person of the Year is a powerful way to focus the world's attention on the people that shape our lives. And this year, no one had a greater impact than the individuals who imagined, designed, and built AI. Humanity will determine AI's path forward, and each of us can play a role in determining AI's structure and future. Our work has trained it and sustained it, and now we find ourselves moving through a world increasingly defined by it. Even as the growth of these models relies on neural pathways that appear to copy our own, they learn, speak, argue, cajole, and yes, their ability to do these things can be as frightening as it is astonishing. We know that there is a difference between us and our creation. For these reasons, we recognize a force that has dominated the year's headlines, for better or for worse, for delivering the age of thinking machines, for wowing and worrying humanity, for transforming the present and transcending the possible. The architects of AI are Time's 2025 Person of the Year. Literally, the first person being featured is Jensen Huang. He is the CEO of NVIDIA, the most valuable company in the world. And he is now a key figure in global politics. He believes artificial intelligence will quintuple the world's gross domestic product. Every nation needs to build it, he says. Jensen Huang needs a moment. The CEO of NVIDIA enters a cavernous studio at the company's Bay Area headquarters and hunches over a table, his head bowed. At age 62, the world's eighth richest man is compact, polished, and known among colleagues for his quick temper as well as his visionary leadership. Right now, he looks exhausted. As he stands silently, it's hard to know if he's about to erupt or collapse. Then someone puts on a Spotify playlist and the stirring chords of Aerosmith's Dream On fill the room. Huang puts on his trademark black leather jacket and appears to transform, donning not just the uniform, but also the body language and optimism befitting one of the foremost leaders of the artificial intelligence revolution. Still, he's got to be tired. Not too long ago, the former engineer ran a successful but semi-obscure outfit that specialized in graphics processors for video games. Today, NVIDIA is the most valuable company in the world, thanks to a near monopoly on the advanced chips powering an AI boom that is transforming the planet. Memes depict NVIDIA as Atlas, holding the stock market on his shoulders. More than just a corporate juggernaut, NVIDIA also has become an instrument of stagecraft, operating at the nexus of advanced technology, diplomacy, and geopolitics. "You're taking over the world, Jensen," President Donald Trump, now a regular late-night phone buddy, told Huang during a recent state visit to the United Kingdom. For decades, humankind steeled itself for the rise of thinking machines. As we marveled at their ability to beat chess champions and predict protein structures, we also recoiled from their inherent uncanniness, not to mention the threats to our sense of humanity. Leaders striving to develop the technology, including Sam Altman and Elon Musk, warned that the pursuit of its powers could create unforeseen catastrophe. This year, the debate about how to wield AI responsibly gave way to a sprint to deploy it as fast as possible. "Every industry needs it, every company uses it, and every nation needs to build it," Huang tells Time in a 75-minute interview in November, 2 days after announcing that NVIDIA, the world's first $5 trillion company, had once again smashed Wall Street's earning expectations. "This is the single most impactful technology of our time. OpenAI's ChatGPT, which at launch was the fastest growing consumer app of all time, has surpassed 800 million weekly users. AI wrote millions of lines of code, aided lab scientists, generated viral songs, and spurred companies to re-examine their strategies or risk obsolescence. OpenAI and Time have a licensing and technology agreement that allows OpenAI to access Time's archives. But researchers have found that AIs can scheme, deceive, or even blackmail. As the leading companies' models improve, AI systems may eventually outcompete humans, as if an advanced species were on the cusp of colonizing the Earth. AI flooded social media with misinformation and deepfake videos, and Pope Leo XIV warned that it could manipulate children and serve anti-human ideologies. The AI boom seemed to swallow the economy into a black hole that's pulling all capital towards it, says Paul Kodrowski, an investor and research fellow at MIT. Where skeptics spied a bubble, the revolution's leaders saw the dawn of a new era of abundance. There's a belief that the world's GDP is somehow limited at $100 trillion, Huang says. AI is going to cause that $100 trillion to become $500 trillion. This is the story of how AI changed our world in 2025 in new and exciting and sometimes frightening ways. It is the story of how Huang and other tech titans grabbed the wheel of history, developing technology and making decisions that are reshaping the information landscape, the climate, and our livelihoods. Racing both beside and against each other, they placed multi-billion dollar bets on one of the biggest physical infrastructure projects of all time. They reoriented government policy, altered geopolitical rivalries, and brought robots into homes. AI emerged as arguably the most consequential tool in great power competition since the advent of nuclear weapons. This article was reported across three continents and through dozens of conversations with executives and computer scientists, economists and politicians, artists and investors, teenagers and grieving families. It describes a frantic blitz toward an unknown destination and the struggle to make sense of it. The tone was set at Trump's inauguration. Tech moguls streamed into Washington. Some sat behind the president during his inaugural address, a signal of the power they would wield. Over the next 11 months, they would see their enormous cash reserves, cultural power, and momentum to push their products into homes across the world. At Meta, Mark Zuckerberg placed a chat box into flagship products like Instagram and WhatsApp, raided rivals to amass talent, and doled out compensation packages that paid machine learning engineers more than professional ball players. Altman completed his transformation of OpenAI, shedding profit caps for investors and paving the way for future investment in the $500 billion colossus, Anthropic, the frontier lab that styles itself as the most safety-conscious, reportedly made plans to go public at a $300 billion valuation. Salesforce, where Time owner Mark Benioff serves as CEO, is an investor in Anthropic. Musk built data centers in record time. Google inserted Gemini AI answers at the top of its search engine. Top investors like SoftBank's Masayoshi Son plowed billions into chips, self-driving cars, and capital infrastructure. OpenAI, which ignited the boom, continues to set the pace in many ways. Usage of ChatGPT more than doubled to 10% of the world's population. That leaves at least 90% to go, says Nick Turley, head of ChatGPT. A large language model, the technology underpinning chatbox like ChatGPT or Anthropic's Claude, is a type of neural network, a computer program different from typical software. By feeding it reams of data, engineers train the models to spot patterns and predict what tokens or fragments of words should come next in a given sequence. From there, AI companies use reinforcement learning, strengthening the neural pathways that lead to desired responses, to turn a simple word predictor into something more like a digital assistant with a finely tuned personality. About a year ago, OpenAI researchers hit on a new way of improving these models. Instead of letting them respond to queries immediately, the researchers allowed the models to run for a period of time and reason in natural language about their answers. This required more computing power, but produced better results. Suddenly, a market boom for mathematicians, physicists, coders, chemists, lawyers, and others to create specialized data, which companies used to reinforce their AI models' reasoning. So the chatbox got smarter. At the same time, AI companies gave these models access to new tools, like the ability to search the internet before answering a query and then consider their findings. They added memory, allowing models to recall details from past chats rather than starting each exchange new. And they let users connect other data sources, email inboxes, cloud storage, web browsers, calendars. Seeing ChatGPT evolve from an instant conversational partner to a thing that can do real work for you feels like a very, very important transition that most people haven't even registered yet, Turley says. Other breakthroughs abound. Cursor, founded in 2022 by a group of MIT grads, became one of the world's fastest growing startups ever off the strength of its AI coding tool, achieving a $1 billion in annual revenue. I would guess that one of the biggest stories over the next year or two will be the real productivity gains within software engineering and coding, becoming more horizontally applied to other sectors of the economy, says Cursor CEO Michael Truell. Meanwhile, a concerned push across the industry was driving up the efficiency of AI models, leading to an increase in total usage. I think there is near infinite demand for intelligence, says Turley, the head of ChatGPT. By late 2025, coding tools like Cursor and Claude Code had become so powerful that engineers across top AI companies were using them for virtually every aspect of their work. Most engineers at NVIDIA are users of the tool, Huang says, a feature that has helped his company nearly quadruple the number of chips it produces per year, while only doubling his headcount. At Anthropic, staff engineers use Claude Code to help build the model's next iterations. Claude now writes up to 90% of its own code. And at AMD, the same tools have sped up efforts to build a software ecosystem to rival NVIDIA's, according to CEO Lisa Su. In 2025, the year that AI becomes really productive for enterprises, Su says. In Trump's first week back in office, Sriram Krishnan, who was still awaiting his official government badge, was summoned to the White House to brief senior officials on a breakthrough unfolding half a week world away. A little-known Chinese startup called DeepSeek had just released a model that was said to rival the abilities of American competitors. DeepSeek claimed it had built this model in mere months using less advanced chips. Its researchers appeared to have replicated OpenAI's reasoning breakthroughs using far less computation, allowing China to erase the gap in a competition the Silicon Valley experts had not considered even close. Krishnan, one of Trump's top AI advisors, felt both vindicated and alarmed. For the past year, the former partner at the venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz had been preaching the urgency of winning the AI race with China to friends, colleagues, and podcast listeners. The U.S., he argued, needed to build as fast as possible, stripping away red tape to let American AI companies run free. To the tech leader shaping Trump's new AI agenda, news of DeepSeek's breakthrough validated the case for acceleration. It was a wake-up call that we needed, says Dean Bale, who helped write Trump's AI action plan, released in July. It set the tone for the nature of the competition that we have ahead of us and the speed with which we have to move. I think we are going to stop at this point. This is an incredibly long article, and we will continue and finish it next time. Okay, we will continue with this at our next broadcast because it continues on for some period of time. Okay. I need to remind you that you've been listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Again, I'm Nancy Porter, and it is my pleasure to be sharing Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 2025. Blah.